I'd like to welcome each one here. We're glad for the board members that are here. We're thankful to have you here with us today. Hope you feel comfortable and welcome here. You're an important part of our schools. One thing I would like to say here at the beginning in relation to yesterday's talk, one of my good friends that is older than I, he was wondering, what about, where do homeschoolers come into this line of authority that we talked about? And I appreciated that because I was thinking more from the Christian day school perspective. And I feel like a lot of the same principles apply to homeschoolers as to the home. Yesterday we looked at the headship order, and the headship order that we find in 1 Corinthians 11 is man, or God, Christ, man, and woman. So man and woman make up the family unit, and you have children there. And so yesterday we put the teacher in place of the man and the student under the teacher, whereas in a homeschooling setting it would be more, you have God, Christ, man, woman, the family unit, and the authority in the family unit would supply the authority structure for a homeschool family. And we still, you know, God, Christ, and His church can't be separated. So we still find ourselves, as we're in headship under Christ, find ourselves in line with the church, if at all possible. I would also like to say I appreciate the other teaching we have here, other workshops. And it dawned on me yesterday morning, sitting in the school culture class, that this talk on respect has to do with school culture, and so there's some overlap between the talks on respect and the talks on school culture. And I've appreciated very much the picture that Brother Howard has given us into school culture and some of the things that help to make that run smoothly. And a lot of those same things are things that build respect. There's a verse in Galatians 6, verse 6, that I kind of latched onto here a little while ago. And it kind of scratches my hobby horse a little bit, I guess. Probably the reason why it stood out to me. And Galatians 6, verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth." That means the students are supposed to talk to the ones that teach. There's supposed to be an interchange. And I know the talk we have this morning is not so much interchange, but it's hard to know where somebody's at if you don't have interchange. If you just feed them information, you're not sure if they're absorbing it, if they already know it, or if you're way above their level. You need to. It's important to have interchange. We're going to have just a little bit this morning. I was trying to decide if we were going to do a quiz on yesterday or not, since these topics follow each other. And I decided to, and partly for the benefit of those who were not here yesterday, to be able to track a little bit with some of the terms that we use and so forth. So could someone give me, and you don't have to give me word for word what we talked about yesterday, what is a simple definition for respect? You can put it in your own words. To value highly, that's right. And so we're looking at respect as a value system. When we respect something, we value it. Okay, very good. What is a simple definition of rebel?
Value oneself.
That's right. Value oneself. And in that context of valuing ourselves, we turn away from the things that have come before us. We're not valuing the things behind us. We are valuing ourselves and therefore turning away from what is established. What are we using this to represent? It says, train up a child. This represents what? Responsibility and authority, the passing of authority. Okay, that's right. We talked about how that when we're hired, that we receive authority. As teachers, by accepting the job, the school board passes authority to us. Our job is to accept that authority, to use that for the responsibility that God has given us. Okay, thank you for that. So our topic today is respect. It's undermining threats. U.S. teachers live in a challenging and somewhat hostile environment. We live in a world where the prince of this world rules through the curse of sin. Also, because of the fall, we have our own personal carnal nature, and each of our students owns a carnal nature as well. So let's look a little bit at our permissive culture. And remember, our standard of respect must be rooted in God and His standard. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. There's a couple verses in this chapter that talk about obedience and those which have authority. Verse 7 is a verse that I really like. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And so this verse highlights the fact that we need to consider those who have taught us, who have gone before us, and we need to consider how their life is turning out and follow them as we see the good results. So it's highlighting the influence of the walk of an authority figure. When we see good men, we need to choose to follow them, because sometimes what we think about in life doesn't always prove itself to work out. But if we follow somebody that has gone the way before us, we can count on that. As we see the fruit of their life, we can know that we can follow them. And that's better than just trying to figure out everything for ourselves. So the influence of the walk of the life of an authority figure. In verse 17 in that same chapter gives us another thought. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In some respects, I feel like I'm walking kind of a fine line in this topic of respect, because we're being somewhat hard on authority figures and how authority figures should act, because we are talking to authority figures. And as authority figures, we want to do our best to relate as God wants us to relate. And that helps our those who are under us to respond in the right way. However, there's the other side of it. When we are relating to another authority figure, so to speak, we need to forget everything I'm saying, and we need to listen to this verse right here. It says simply, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That is scriptural concept of how we as individuals relate to authority. In our world today, expressions of self and rebellion are common and also accepted. And we need to be aware of that and teach our children the scriptural way of submission to authority. Us as humans, as much as we can desire and try to do how God wants us to do, we fail at times. We are not perfect. No authority, human authority, will be perfect. And as in the world today, in our own personal carnal nature, we would like to dismiss authority in our life that we can find fault with. And that's very common in today's world, is if I can find fault with an authority figure, then that releases me from being respectful to him. That's how our carnal nature would like to think. The truth is that any one of us as humans, if someone would want to find fault with us, If that's what they're looking for, they would be able to find it. We can find fault if we want to. But the sad thing is, too many times, that kind of fault finding is based on supposition, imagination, maybe just half of the story, or hearsay that is not confirmed. But it goes right along with how we think about that person, so we just take it up, and we feel like it's true because it goes along with how we've been thinking about that person. So I believe the world around us, our permissive culture, has a very large influence in how it's rubbing off on how we view authority in our schools and in our churches and in our homes as well. So we need to make a conscious effort to maintain the scriptural standard of respect. And there again, going back to verse 17, the scripture says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Okay, so you have a handout today. Does anyone need a paper? Everyone got? Okay. I'll see if I can find mine. So we're going to go ahead and fill out part of this. So on the left-hand side of your paper, you find a row of five boxes in your flowchart there. We're going to put our Christian teacher at the top. And the second one. Change this word here to buy. So surrender is carnal actions by the grace of God. So the Christian teacher, he surrenders himself and then he shows respect. And if he shows respect, he should receive respect. And if there is mutual relationship, mutual respect like we talked about yesterday, then there is relationship. Okay, this is what we are striving for in our schools. So if everything works in an ideal situation, teacher does what he's supposed to do, student responds as he's supposed to respond, they're formed a relationship. And I'm glad to say that in many times in our Mennonite culture, that is how it works, because our children have been trained to respect. But sad to say, in our Mennonite culture, it's not always that way. Sometimes we run into problems. We run into, like we talked about, we have a carnal nature, they have a carnal nature. So if you look at this flowchart, we're talking about threats to respect. Undermining threats. So where are two places in the part that we've filled out already? Where are the two places where we start to go wrong in respect?
When we don't show it.
When we don't show it. Okay, that's the first one, and that has to do with us.
That's right.
So if this here So if, on your papers I have if yes between these, and then if this is no, then we have to go back one step and start over. Okay, so where's the other spot that we have problems in respect? Okay, that's right. So that would kind of, surrendering our carnal actions, that's kind of the root of this right here. So if we don't show respect, we have to go back and start over there. So there's one more spot where we find a trouble spot in this system.
In receiving respect.
In receiving respect. Students don't always show respect to their teacher, which would be the teacher receiving respect. So the students, sometimes we also find a trouble spot with the students as well. So what do we do if the students, so if this, if the teacher is not receiving respect, so if this is no, this box is not true, then we need something else to help us out there. But first of all, we're going to stop, we're going to, for this next point, we're going to talk about ourselves. So we're going to be talking about this threat right here, about ourselves, surrendering our carnal actions, and showing respect. So we'll draw attention again to our own carnal nature. Remember, our carnal nature opposes true respect because it is focused on ourself. We talked about that a little bit already. We as Christians are quickened by the Spirit, and we crucify our flesh, but our flesh, our carnal nature, is not dead. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22 in Romans 8, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." This is because of the curse of sin on creation. It is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. And it says there, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." It's talking about Christians here, those that have the first fruits of the Spirit. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are quickened by the power of God." But we are not in our redeemed state yet that we're looking forward to in heaven, in eternity. We still are housed in this body that has carnal impulses that need to be surrendered to Christ and sanctified by the power of Christ. So when we face situations that are hard in school life or in any area of life, our carnal nature cries out for expression. But the man of God exercises himself in grace and power of God to bring his body under control. So we are bringing our body under control by the power of our glorified, resurrected Christ. That is how we do it. But it's not something that is completely done. It takes a continual choosing of a right way to live. I kind of wanted to find a story of a carnal reaction of a teacher. And I'm sure some of you probably have some of those from your experience. And it's a good thing. I would say it's probably a good thing that I wasn't able to think of one, because that means that maybe it's not too common for teachers to react in a drastically carnal way. And it should be that way in our Christian schools. And so I'm going to have to tell a story on myself, but this is not in a school setting, but I think we can translate it. You can translate it into your own life, into your school. Here a few months ago, I was working on a chimney, and we were grinding out the old mortar and using a grout bag, which is like a huge icing bag like you would use to decorate a cake. And I was using that after we ground out the mortar. I was using that grout bag to put the mortar back in. And it was a fairly warm day, and, you know, we're just putting a little bit of mortar in. So you can only grout in a certain amount before you have to stop and go back and strike it off before it gets too hard. And you also need to have the consistency right, or it does not flow through that bag, and it gets very difficult. And so I was there working, and I had mixed up some mortar and put it in this bag, got up on the scaffolding, and I was trying to work. And it was coming a little bit, but it was kind of hard. And I was kind of reefing on that thing and trying to get it to work, and it was making a mess because it wasn't flowing smoothly. And I was getting under pressure because, you know, you want to get a certain amount, as much as you can, done before you have to stop and go back and strike. And I just kept working on that thing, getting more and more uptight, and trying to get it to work. I thought the consistency I had, I thought it should work, but it just wasn't. And finally, I decided I was going to have to start over. I was going to have to add more water and get it to work correctly. And so I was going to get down, and so I threw that grout bag off the scaffolding. And I threw it harder than what I would have had to throw it. I didn't throw it as hard as what I felt like I would have liked to throw it. It was, you know, it's one of those situations where your carnal nature, you know you shouldn't express it, and yet it comes out more than it should. And you kind of hope that nobody was looking out the window to see. And I thought about that, and I had to repent of that. And to ask God to help me with that. Because that is an expression of my carnal nature. That frustration that we feel. Our bodies that are crying for expression. And so we face those kind of situations in life. We face those kind of situations in school. Maybe sometimes we face those kind of situations more when we work with people. The frustration when we feel like somebody is not trying like they should. Or maybe somebody that talks back to us. Or maybe they embarrass us some way. And we have some pride that gets injured and we feel like reacting. That's a carnal nature that has to be brought under the power of Christ. And it needs to be sanctified in our life. So our first impulse when challenged or embarrassed will probably be carnal. When dealing with issues that come up, make sure that we have the facts. My wife had an experience here quite a few years ago when she was a little girl. And we already heard about girls in school life a little bit this morning. Anyway, there was a situation with some younger girls in school where they were two of the older ones of the girl group were kind of at odds for some reason. There was this clique going on. And so the older ones were getting the younger ones, and they were trying to get them on their side. You know, each day it was kind of a competition, I guess, to see who could they could get on their side against the other individual that they were in competition with. And so one day the teacher decided to take care of this thing that was going on. And so what happened was all the little girls got a spanking that one day. However many little girls there was how many spankings. And they got taken down into the basement one at a time and got their spanking. And as a young girl, my wife remembers not being sure why she was getting spanked. You know, she had got drawn into that system of competition and cliques, and yet the ones that were at fault were, I guess, punished maybe the same. Some of these things get hard for us to discern. We don't always know. But try to be careful. and try to recognize if someone may have got pulled into something innocently. Try to have the facts, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Now, my wife, that didn't scar her forever. We as teachers can make a certain amount of mistakes and our students will probably still be okay. And she probably learned something from that experience. So it's not all lost. And the other thing I guess I would say is just because someone's pulled into something innocently doesn't make them totally innocent. But try to deal with it according to... try to deal with it fairly. Try to get the facts about what you're dealing with. And take care of the problem that way. So another point on ourselves is our view of ourselves. We need to be secure in who God wants us to be, who God created us to be. Sometimes we might use the term, we need to be comfortable in our own skin. Sometimes, especially when we're younger, we tend to want to be like someone else that we admire. Or we feel like if we have a certain object that is a fad, or a certain style that is a fad right now, that gives us personal worth. But we need to find security in who God wants us to be. We need to be willing to accept ourselves. If we feel threatened, if we're not feeling secure, if we feel threatened, we're more likely to respond in a carnal way in school, in the classroom. For example, if we feel afraid of rejection by the students, we are more vulnerable for favoritism and permissiveness to try to gain their approval. But this is actually an illusion because the godly use of authority is ultimately what brings respect, and respect brings relationship. By the grace of God, we need to try to remain calm, deliberate, and fair under pressure. Is that asking too much? calm, deliberate, and fair under pressure. By the grace of God, that's how we accomplish that. If we allow ourselves to become afraid of a student, that we lose the proper order of authority in that case, because when we start allowing the student to... we respond in fear and try to work around that, then we're allowing the student to be in the wrong position of authority. There's also another danger in that thing of being afraid of a student, and that would be is to react too harshly because we are afraid. And we react to our fear and try to prove that we are in authority, and that can bring a wrong reaction as well. So these pressures and insecurities that we face as individuals, they are real. And I don't want you to feel bad if you're here and maybe you struggle to accept yourself, or you don't always feel confident in yourself. We need a certain amount of that because we need dependence on God. But we need to be comfortable in who God made us to be through God's power and grace. We don't, you know, it's something that we all face, and we do not have to be free from the temptation to fear or the temptation to feel insecure. We don't have to be totally free of that, but we need to know where to go to find rest from that. And in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If we choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then God will make us to abide under His shadow. And that's where we find that rest, that security, that acceptance of ourself that allows us to function in a way that is not reactionary. We need to have a proper demeanor and etiquette. We need to be friendly and down to earth, but also need to be polished and professional. maybe for you boys, maybe that's a problem more than the girls. And I would like to remind you that you will probably need to be more polished in your manners and your demeanor and your appearance than what you are when you're out on the crew with your peers, the construction crew or wherever you work. And many of you are going from that setting into the classroom, and you will have to present yourself to a higher standard in the classroom setting as an authority figure. So our view of vested authority, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how we receive authority when we take our job. So trying to prove our authority. So if we are out trying to prove our authority, we kind of hold our authority up front and we kind of try it out a little bit just to make sure everybody knows it's here. Brother Howard mentioned that a little bit yesterday morning in relation to a tense atmosphere in the classroom. So when students are tense, maybe they're focused on your authority instead of the lesson that they're supposed to be learning. And when students are distracted, they just don't learn because they're thinking about something else than what you're trying to teach them. So we need to not try to prove our authority. That hinders the learning process. And it also hinders respect. Because like we said yesterday, the authority that we receive is to be used for a purpose. But it needs to lay to the side, maybe not totally out of view, but it is something that's there that needs to be used for a purpose. It is not to be used to prove or to display. Here again, if we feel insecure, if we face fear, we may be tempted to try to prove our authority. Sometimes we can try to prove our authority by overreacting to something that was done, some misdemeanor of some sort. And we make stronger consequences than necessary just to prove, make sure they know who's boss. We should never use our authority for a selfish purpose or for revenge. You know, we have a strong tendency to rate our personal worth by our performance. We think if we can be a good teacher, maybe we can be worth something. We try to create value in ourselves by what we do. But we really need to find that security in Christ. And if we're finding that, if we're trying to find our worth in our performance, we will tend to try to prove our authority more than if we just accept ourselves for who God created us to be and use our authority to serve and to protect, like we talked about yesterday. If we have pride in our life, and all of us struggle with pride, that's another thing that needs to be sanctified as part of our carnal nature. If we have pride in our life and our student does something that embarrasses us, we might respond carnally by humiliating them publicly or giving them some kind of public punishment that is humiliating to them. Now, there is a place for giving a student a public reminder of where he needs to be in a right way. And as Brother Howard mentioned, he has a desk in there where some of the students from other classes can come and sit if they have been misbehaving in their class. And so some of that is good and proper if it's done in a right attitude. But we need to be careful about public punishments. A teacher shaming a student is disrespecting the student. The shame that goes along with public punishment tends to make it less effective and can make the student bitter toward authority. We need to match the punishment to the offense. And even student, we probably need to be a little careful about this in a school setting, but some students take more consequences to get their attention, and some maybe just a reminder is enough. And some of that we can match our punishment to Maybe we give everybody a reminder the first time, and somebody that is sensitive, that's enough. The next person does it the second time, he gets stronger consequences. One time I caught two of the boys in during job time horsing around in the boys' bathroom. And so I took them, I can't remember if I had them finish or what, but anyway, we looked at Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and it talks about there's a time and a season for everything, and there's a purpose. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to laugh and a time to weep. And tried to help them, you know, there's a right time and a wrong time for boys to be horsing around. And I think they remembered that, and it stuck with them for a long time. So neglected rules is another threat that we face. When we consider making a rule, we need to consider whether it is will be sustainable. Will I remember to enforce it in 2 weeks? If we decide it's going to be too hard to enforce or we're going to forget it, we need to go and think of a plan that's going to, that we will be simple enough for the student and the teacher to maintain. It needs to be maintainable. Some issues can be dealt with on a case-by-case basis rather than writing a rule every time you have a problem. Too many rules can become cumbersome and time-consuming to enforce or even remember. Especially older students, we can cover a lot with simple rules, such as respect, cheerfulness, and diligence. Name-calling would be a violation of respect to their fellow students. Complaining would be a violation of the rule to cheerfulness. And I think it's good for us to teach our students this basic concepts in our rules, because they need to learn that not everything has to be spelled out. There's laws that they need to live by, and they don't need a law in writing for every behavior they do. And if we try to write everything out and have a law for everything, we can kind of foster a mentality of looking for loopholes. So we heard this morning about respecting established school and community culture. Our students should not feel like we came in and just totally revamped their whole system. Things like the way games are played, it's not here or there, and we have preferences because of what we are used to. But we should allow them to play it their way, because it doesn't make any difference. We shouldn't just try to change everything to what we prefer. So our students... see if I can find my flowchart here. So if the student does not show respect, the teacher needs to require respect. That's what goes in the box right here. The teacher requires respect. Building a relationship. And then at the end is relationship. And if no, if this does not happen, over on the box on the far right, we will need to appeal to the parents and the board for direction. So respect is the means to relationship. God bless you all as you go from here and face the challenges of school life. It's easy to talk about ideas and theories, but you're going to have to go and put it into everyday shoe leather as you go from here. May God bless you.